We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lukumsky coming to you from my office in New Athens, Illinois, where we are freezing cold. I could have stayed up in Minnesota if I wanted cold weather like this. Although, I understand in Minnesota it's actually negative 35 today with the wind chill.
So maybe
the weather we have here in St. Louis is a little bit better. And I have with me...
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark coming to you from... the frozen tundra of South St. Louis, right? Service pastor at Ascension. Yeah, we're not used to these single digits in St. Louis, are we, John, and surrounding area? And, you know, the thing is, we had that snowfall and some ice, too, and it's just sticking around for weeks and weeks. And we're not used to that either. Usually there's a snowfall, and then a few days later, it's pretty much melted and going away. But not this time. It's sticking around.
Well, and like you said, that's the big difference for us because when we get snow and ice, usually it's gone. It's gone in just a few days. But now this has been, almost 3 weeks that we've had this on the ground.
And I saw pictures yesterday, snowfall in Pensacola, Florida. So for our southern listeners and the Gulf Coast, you don't get snow very often. You know, pictures of snow covering the palm trees. That's a rare photo. So God be with all of you, too, in the cold winter weather this year.
I have some. Oh, by the way, this is Wrestling with the Basics, although I figure if anyone's listening to us, they probably know that. But I have good news. You know, last week we talked about the fact that the FBI is warning all of us that we need to protect the privacy of our communications from foreign hackers. There's actually a group called Salt Typhoon. It's a Chinese hacking group, and they've infiltrated the American networks and are collecting data from phone calls and text messages. And of course, I was concerned, what if our dumb jokes fall into the hands of our enemies? And my wife Lynn, she assured me that probably this warning from the FBI was not directed to you and me. It was probably speaking more to like generals and congressmen and other people whose conversation might have some kind of impact on our nation's security as a whole. Probably, she said, if there are Chinese hackers listening to Wrestling the Basics, we don't need to be concerned. Maybe that's a good thing. We would actually want them to be listening to us and our dumb jokes.
we might be America's best weapon against this, John. You know, they listen to the first 5 minutes of Wrestling with the Basics and are just really confused. what is happening?
She probably has a point. We probably don't need to worry about the privacy of our communication from foreign hackers. And so next week we will return again with 100 seconds in honor of KFUO's 100th anniversary, 100 seconds of dumb jokes.
Woo-hoo!
Our listeners can get their tape recorders ready. The foreign hackers can get their tape recorders ready as well. So we'll do that next week. But we have more serious stuff to do this week because you actually saw a connection between two Bible passages, one from the epistles, one from the gospels, which, by the way, is good. Actually, there should always be a connection. We hope that what Paul writes doesn't go off on a different tone than what Jesus was teaching. And I think Paul would affirm, no, I'm just telling you what Jesus says. So explain to us, what was this connection that you saw?
Yeah, well, thanks, John. Yeah, I struggle as a preacher sometimes because we have these lectionary readings and there's these assigned readings that so many Christians around the world follow, and they are connected to each other typically in some way, right?
Wait a second. I want to interrupt you.
Yeah.
Because actually, I don't mean to correct you on air, but actually the epistle lesson and the gospel— are not connected. They're not connected. The Old Testament and the gospel, you're right. Those are all chosen so that they would draw together. But you, on the other hand, you saw a connection from the epistle and the gospel. And generally the epistles are, we're just reading through the Bible. That's all we're doing.
Well, yeah. So fair enough, yeah. John. Yeah. So for Epiphany, the season we're in, for example, we're reading through the epistles, the epistle of 1 Corinthians, and those readings all come from the same
book. That's all we're doing. Yeah.
So what we're doing at Ascension is we're doing a sermon series just following the lectionary readings from 1 Corinthians. So we're spending 6 weeks in 1 Corinthians, getting to know the book a little more and why Paul wrote it in the context of that and what it has to say to us. So my struggle sometimes is, how much do you connect those readings within a sermon? Because I think, usually there's plenty of content just for one to cover one reading in a sermon, right?
So Paul, when you start covering,
I know.
Paul's so he just goes on and on and on.
These run-on sentences of the Apostle Paul. I know.
That's right.
So do you try to cover two of the readings in one sermon? Well, I typically don't, because again, the text is so rich that one is enough. But this recently, I tried to cover two. So here we go, John. And if you're going to cover two readings, my thought is try to find a common theme. And the common theme here is one that, I'll go ahead and blow it, John, and tell you what the theme is right off the bat. But that of
Wait a second. Hold on. Foreign hackers, get ready. This is the big point.
Here it is.
Okay, here it is.
Exceeding expectations. Expectations. So the gospel reading is from John chapter 2. So let's start there. John chapter 2.
Of course, because I've got Corinthians looked up.
Oh, sorry, John. Yeah.
That's okay. I can get John chapter 2. Go ahead.
So while you're looking that up, I'll just throw in some filler.
No, I'm okay. I got it. I'm ready.
All right, good. Yeah, no, and what I was going to say is, I think when you think about today, and thanks to social media in particular, everyone's rating everything, right? Everyone is, you go out to eat and, you can give it a restaurant a certain number of stars, right? So one star, it typically means do not recommend, right? Would not recommend. Yeah. I wouldn't go here again, even if the food was free. That's one star. And then you've got five stars, which is something like, this is the best thing since sliced bread. I would tell my friends about this place. It exceeds expectations. So to set the scene here in John chapter 2, there's this wedding reception at Cana in Galilee. Jesus is there, his mother Mary, his disciples, who knows how many other people are there too. And this party is in danger of being a one-star party.
The Yelp review would be horrible.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. They run out of wine halfway through the celebration. So that's where we'll pick up is what happens, and then what does Jesus do in response? So if you want to start there in verse 1.
So on the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Keep on reading.
So this is the third day of this reception. And we think, well, boy, that's a long reception. Well, it's only halfway through. The party's just, getting started. It's usually a 7-day feast. So this was a big deal. To run out of wine would be something that was just culturally catastrophic at the time, and in danger of embarrassment, right? A low rating for your wedding reception. And then Mary says, do whatever he tells you to do, right? And I wonder, speaking of expectations, what did Mary expect Jesus to do? Well, we just don't know. Like she thinks he could do something, even if it's just running down to a total wine down the street and picking up some more Mogan David. Jesus is going to do something.
That's exactly what she expected. Thank you, man. That question has always bothered me, but of course, total wine.
That's in the footnote somewhere, I think. What did she expect? Well, we don't know. But she has an expectation, and I think it's safe to say Jesus is going to exceed whatever expectation Mary had.
And let me just throw this out, Matt.
Yeah.
This is the first of the signs, John tells us. So it's not like Jesus has been multiplying wine and making fish and loaves. No. So you're right. It is an interesting thing. I think she just expected Jesus to try to do something to be helpful because that's the kind of guy he is. Yeah.
I think you're right. I don't know if she expected something miraculous. I just don't know.
Can I ask you another question? I'm going to take you off your track here.
Sure.
Why in the world does he say, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not come. You didn't explore that in your sermon, I know, because that wasn't part of the theme. But just throwing it out at you, how do you deal with that?
Sure. Well, I think throughout the Gospels, we see that Jesus is concerned about timing, right?
Yep,
you know, how much he reveals about himself and when his disciples can or shouldn't tell others about the miracles he's performed and things like that. And here, I think he's concerned with timing, too. Again, he says, they have no wine. What does that have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. You know, it's a matter of timing. And yet, Jesus still helps. And so I think that just, to me, speaks of Jesus great compassion, this compassion for Mary, this compassion for this couple, even in this wedding party, even though, his hour is not yet come, still he has compassion because of Mary's interceding on behalf of this couple, you know.
So the thought just occurred to me, though, Matt, maybe she was expecting more than that. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what he's saying. This is my first sign. I can't blow him away here, Mom. You know, I'm not going to start feeding 5,000 people at this point.
Yeah.
But let me think about it. Maybe there's something I can do that will be subtle, you know, but it is not going to draw a whole lot of attention to me. But yeah, I like what you said. I love these people. I have compassion on them. But this isn't the hour. This is an hour for me to blow them away with my messianic power. I don't know. I might be totally off, but
yeah,
I crossed my mind as you were talking.
We just don't know. You know, the text just doesn't say. But what I do like about this account too is it also shows that Jesus cares about, you know, the quote unquote little things, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, when we think of Jesus' miracles, you know, what are the big ones? Well, you know, he raises Lazarus from the dead for crying out loud.
Yes.
You know, he gives sight to the blind. He feeds 5,000 people. There probably weren't 5,000 people at this reception. This is probably one of the smaller miracles, right? You know, it's not essential. It's not life and death to have wine at a wedding, right?
It's not
like someone's dead. It's not like someone's, you know, blind, you know, they just ran out of wine. And yet Jesus still cares and he still has compassion and he still does something about it. And, you know, to me, that's comforting for us today, too, that, we can come to the Lord in prayer. As Mary comes before Jesus, we can come before Jesus, too. And in anything, you know, no matter how small the concern is, and he hears and he cares and he answers.
And for us then to understand that all the little things that we have really are miracles in the sense that those are gifts to us from Jesus Christ. We just take it for granted, like, as you said, that we ran down to Total Wine and bought a case of wine, whereas actually everything we have is ultimately a gift from God, as we well know from those times when we don't have those little things, you know?
Yep.
I'm having some health issues right now, and we just take our health for granted. Well, of course we're healthy. That's just, no, that isn't how it is. It is when Jesus grants us that stuff. And I suppose sometimes we need to have a few physical ailments to remind us, that's not the way it is naturally or normally. That's the way it is because, again, we have a God of compassion, too. Because if he didn't show his compassion and mercy to us, trust me, this whole world would just be hell. And sometimes it gets pretty close to that, as the people in California are experiencing right now with all the fires. And
no doubt about it.
So I agree with you. That's a good point. He cares about even the little things. And what a good lesson that we should pray to him about the little things, not just wait for the big things. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. So, well, let's continue with verse 6.
How far, Matt?
Let's see. Let's go ahead and go through verse 11.
Now there were 6 stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. So they took it. And I've often wondered if the servants at this point think that he's a Baptist rabbi.
Because the water.
What good is he going to do to bring him water? What? Yeah. Okay. Well, whatever. When the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first. And when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This is the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him.
Yeah. So, you know, talking about expectations, you know, Mary's expectations, were they big or smaller? Well, we're not sure. But we do know that Jesus certainly exceeds the expectations of this chief steward,
oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know, what are you doing serving the good wine now? You know, you got to do that at the beginning. Everyone knows that. That's party throwing 101. So exceeds his expectations big time. So yeah, the wedding reception is saved. It is a 5-star event. Thanks be to Jesus. So that's exceeding expectations in this case. Any other comments about that before we move on to 1 Corinthians?
And so maybe we can see that the concept of my hour has not yet come. That I'm going to show compassion, I'm going to show love, but not in such a way that people are going to walk away saying, who's this Jesus guy? Because it's interesting that John emphasizes the fact that nobody actually knows that Jesus even did this. They're just commenting on the fact of how great things were. But the only people that actually know it are the servants. So maybe that's the whole point, that I want to do things, but I cannot do them in such a outward fashion that we're going to push the agenda quicker than it needs to be pushed.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's an interesting detail. You know, you have the servants knew, and it seems like the chief steward doesn't even know.
No,
and you wonder if he ever even found out. It's probably pretty safe that Mary knows, and then it seems the disciples know because they believe in him, right?
But
other than that, you know, the wedding party at large, even the bride and groom, do they even know that Jesus is the one who did it? And from the text, it seems like they probably didn't, you know, that he does kind of do this in secret. It's not for the sake of a show, right?
Right.
But he just simply has compassion on Mary and compassion on this wedding reception.
Which I think is a good thing for us to remember, because I think God's doing that all the time. He's showing compassion, doing things for us, but he does it in a way that it's hidden, that people would look at it and say, oh, well, he had a nice job. No wonder they were able to get good wine, you know, not realizing, well, no, if we have a really nice job and can afford those things, yeah, that is because Jesus has had compassion on us. But God does that a lot. He does a lot of really good things, and he hides behind doctors and employers or whatever. It's always kind of hiding his power.
Yeah. Yeah, you bet. And exceeding expectations. So
doing greater things than what we would have expected. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, so that's the wedding. Okay. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 12, and you know, completely different text here in context, but I think one of the commonalities is God, again, exceeds expectations. But this time it's exceeding expectations, not when it comes to water and wine and wedding receptions, but when it comes to things of faith, when it comes to our salvation.
Oh.
So if you want to read 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 3. John.
Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, thank you. So Paul's talking about confessing, right? Confessing that Jesus is Lord. And he says there, especially in verse 3, that no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. This idea that God gives us this gift of faith, right? I mean, that's probably not what we expect. That's probably not what we expect. In fact, you know, probably what we expect is something more like we make a decision to follow Jesus all on our own, that maybe we've chosen Jesus apart from the Holy Spirit. That's a decision that I made. Or maybe we're even willing to admit, well, maybe it was kind of me and God doing this, right? You know, that I believe in Jesus, I put my faith in him, and then, you know, God, he contributes with the Holy Spirit some too. Maybe it's 50-50, right? I did a little bit of the believing. God did a little bit of the work. And yeah, here I am. I'm a Christian. And Paul says, well, no, that's not it. God exceeds those expectations that we have about our faith and about coming to faith, that God does 100% of it. That we were blind, right? You know, amazing grace, right? The hymn, I was blind, but now I see, lost, but found. Well, we were blind and God gave us sight. We were lost. God found us. It's entirely God's work in our lives. And, you know, the beautiful thing about that is if God is the one who gave me faith, well, you know, I can be certain of it then. I am a child of God in baptism. I am forgiven. I am going to heaven. There's a certainty that comes with that. If God is the one behind it, if it's because of the Holy Spirit that I can say and believe that Jesus is Lord, well then, yeah, salvation is certain. It's a sure thing. It's not dependent upon me or if I decided hard enough or sincerely enough to follow Jesus. Well, no, you know, God worked that faith in me. So I think, you know, our own sinful selves wants to take maybe a little bit of the credit for our salvation and our coming to faith in Jesus. And here, Paul says, no, God exceeds expectations. He gives you this beautiful gift of faith, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit.
And yeah. isn't that the original sin? Because if you think about it, in the garden, God yeah. gives them everything. They have everything they need for their happiness, for their physical well-being. He's even made them in his image, right? I mean, so you can't get any more like God than they are at that point. And then the devil comes and says, well, you know, really, you need to do something. If you really want to be like God, you need to eat this fruit. That's what it's all about.
Yep.
And so that temptation continues today. God, the devil is constantly saying, nope, he can't do it. God cannot, he cannot even meet your expectations, let alone exceed them. So no, you have to kind of take things in your hands. And in the practical sense, we do that all the time, don't we? We have these issues and we think, oh, we've got to come up with a solution. And I'm not suggesting there aren't things for us to do, but maybe it is wise for us to remember just what you said. God actually can do more than what we even expect. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So it's, again, exceeding our expectations. And for me, John, you know, it's just the certainty of salvation that comes with that, right? If I am saved, because God has given me the gift of faith, and faith specifically in Jesus Christ, who died and rose, then it's sure. But if it depends upon me, am I coming to faith, or what I do to inherit self or to earn salvation, rather? Well, then there's no certainty that comes with that.
No.
But boy, we are blessed with that certainty. And that this verse, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3 in particular, that's central to our Lutheran theology. So if you look up like the small catechism, you have the explanation of the catechism in the back and all these Bible verses. There's an index, and the explanation is quoting this verse all over the place. So for us as Lutherans, this is an important verse to recognize that, no, it's not by my own reason or strength that I believe in Jesus, but no, the Holy Spirit's given me that gift, right? Through the gospel. Yeah, exceeds expectations. Yeah, so with our remaining time here, John, if you want to read on a little bit there, God exceeds expectations yet again. So if you'd like to read verses 4 through 11.
Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge. Well, certainly we missed out on that, didn't we? According to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills.
Yeah, I didn't see the gift of dumb jokes in there, John. I'm sorry. but if there was a spiritual gift of dumb jokes, I think you have it.
Well, you know, if Paul had been listening in to Wrestling with the Basics, I'm sure he would have included that. But we weren't around back then.
Yep. All right. So again, God exceeding our expectations. So not only does he work faith in us by the power of the Spirit, but also he gives us these gifts on top of that. Is this grace upon grace in our lives? You know, God is so good. So he talks about these gifts of the Spirit, right? And these are gifts that come from the Holy Spirit. You know, God is pouring them out on us. And then he lists all these gifts, you know, knowledge and wisdom and, you know, all these different things. And I think we keep in mind, too, this isn't an exhaustive list, right? There's other
obviously it isn't because the dumb jokes aren't listed there. Well, thank you, Matt.
That's right. Yeah.
Thank you for that encouragement. Yeah.
So, yeah, so this is not a complete list. But, yeah, I think that we can ask ourselves and also maybe from what others have shared with us, too, and consider, you know, what are the gifts that God's blessed me with? You know, because it says, right, there are a variety of gifts, right, the same Lord. And to each has given a manifestation of the Spirit. So I think, you know, God still gifts his people today in various ways. And maybe that is, you know, through the gift of music or hospitality or compassion or you know, fervency in prayer, you know, all sorts of different gifts that God still gives his people today. And again, exceeds our expectations. The one thing I want to note, John, is, you know, verse 7 talks about why God gives us these gifts.
Yes, for the common good. They're not for us, but they're for everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. So when God gives us these gifts by the Spirit, to not hoard them to ourselves, not to build ourselves up, not to be boastful, not to be self-serving, but for the common good, you know, for Christ's church, for the love of our neighbor, whoever that neighbor is. You know, so if we have the gift of music, you know, we don't just sing in the shower, you know, use it for the common good, right? If we have the gift of hospitality, don't just invite people to your house that you know are going to invite you over to their place, you know, but really truly be hospitable. If our gift is service or leadership, don't just hide in the back pew at church, but yeah, really, you know, serve, lead, to use it for the common good. And that's important too. So God exceeding expectations, God giving us these gifts and maybe exceeding expectations we have as we see how he works through those gifts for the common good, the incredible things he accomplishes. Yeah. Any thoughts, John?
G.K. Chesterton, this is the illustration that he used. Christianity is not a field of daisies, right? Because if you have a field of daisies, they all look alike. They all look alike. Yeah. But we are a field of all kinds of different flowers, daisies, petunias, roses, tulips, rhododendron. I don't know. I'm running out of flower names. But it's just like Paul says, not you, what Paul says. We've all got different gifts. But I really like that thought, too. They're not to make us proud, because after all, they're not really ours. They're just gifts that we have, but they are certainly to build up and to care for everyone around us, for the good, like you said, for the good of others, the common good.
Yes, yes, exactly, exactly. And, you know, I guess to round off the show, you know, exceeding expectations, you know, this whole idea of saying Jesus is Lord. And, you know, again, he's the object of our salvation. And just to leave our listeners with one other way God exceeds expectations is heaven itself. You know, and I guarantee whatever your thoughts are in heaven, whatever you've imagined, it's going to be better. God's going to exceed that expectation. I think what he says earlier in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. So no matter what it is, whether it's the producing the best wine or the gift of faith or the gifts of the Spirit or even heaven itself, you know, God is a God who again and again exceeds our expectations.
Thank you, Matt. This has been Wrestling with the Basics.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.